Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jordan Usengill with Cloud 9, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome, everyone, to a new edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 109 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 7:46 p.m. Central Standard Time. The date, June 6, 2018. I will be one of your hosts for this evening's journey into esports. My name is Tim. Hello, how are you? Joining me, as always, are my two best friends in the whole wide world. We have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, family?
Happy you were able to find your way.
I found my way to my desk, and I'm here, ready to go.
We'll get more into that. And we also have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hello, hello. How are you, bud?
I'm good. We all survived DreamHack weekend, which is a
most of us
challenge in itself. And this is going to be the best episode ever. Why, you might ask? Because we will dive into DreamHack weekend. We did go to DreamHack Austin. We have lots of stories to get to, tell you all about the event. We met some of our listeners there, so hello. It was lovely seeing some of you. We kind of have our traditional CSGO grab bag, or as I like to call it, we didn't watch anything all weekend, so we need something to talk about. And CSGO is always there for us, so we'll talk some CSGO. There's always news going on there. And we got a little bit of e-news for you. But as I mentioned, this is post-DreamHack weekend episode. And as always, we have really good stories, which you can see some of the pictures there because I almost forgot to plug all our social media. And what kind of a podcaster would I be if I didn't plug social media?
Follow, like, subscribe.
Smash that subscribe button. If you listen on iTunes, please review. I hear that helps with people seeing it. So I hear. At The Center Ring on Twitter, tcr.gg for the website. All of our social media and Discord links are on there. Hit up our Discord and join the discussion. And you can ask us about DreamHack Austin, because we were there. And as always, a superb event. Now, if you do follow social media, not necessarily ours, but really any of them, you would have seen that there were some bumpy roads this year for DreamHack Austin. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, you know. This is a unpaid episode. I'm not in any man's pocket, okay? It was bumpy, to say the least. So I don't know how you guys want to do this. Do you want to kind of start with Friday? Do you want to jump around to stories?
Yeah, we just start with Friday because that's where it kind of...
Okay.
I mean, literally all of it started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we go to DreamHack Austin every year. It's been there 3 years. This is our third year being there. Every year we kick it up a notch. The first year we went for my bachelor party, we didn't do BYOC because we didn't know what it was going to be like. And we were like, nah, for first time, let's just go. So we went. It was good. Second year we did BYOC. It was good. This year we were BYOC, made a banner. There was 11 of us. It was the biggest group we've ever brought out there. And I assume it's just going to grow and grow every year. So that would be pretty awesome as well. And really, there hasn't been issues before. But this year at DreamHack Austin, whether it was out of their control or not, we're going to get into it all. So we drive up there Friday. We all leave at pretty much exactly 8 o'clock in the morning. We live in Dallas, so it's about a 3.5 hour drive. We get there. And last year, what DreamHack did is that they provided all the passes for BYOC. They give you a pass and two stickers, which is an issue in itself, but we'll get to that. And you can we went in last year, went in right through the front door. You're done. You checked out. That's it. You set up your stuff and you can play. It was super smooth transitioning. This time, they made you stand in a line to get your BYOC pass and stickers, which I thought, okay, well, maybe it's for extra security, right? Like, maybe they really want to, I don't know, maybe snap a picture with you and your gear, and then that way when you leave, they'll pull up the picture and say, yep, this is all the stuff you had when you came in. You're free to go, right? That doesn't seem like too much of a pain in the ass. And again, I've stressed this enough. I'm okay with any amount of pain in the ass to get out of there if I know everyone is also being...
accosted, too.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm okay with, you know, John Doe getting pat down if I know you're trying to protect my stuff. And I'm okay with me getting pat down if you are protecting his stuff, right? It's all the same if it's all on the same level. So anyways,
yeah, it's like expensive computers there. Like, I'm least worried about mine.
Yeah, like,
know?
I'm okay standing in an exit line for 15 minutes if it means, like, you're stopping someone from stealing, you know, a backpack worth of everything, which, again, all this is leading up to things. So we get there. I skip to the head of the line to ask a question. So I ask the guy, yo, I bought all the tickets. Do I need 11 of my guys here, or can I just get in line now? He was like, oh, yeah, you can just do it. Let me check you in now. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not going to tell you I just skipped an hour line to ask a question, so sure.
Like, no, sir. No, yeah, sir. I'll wait.
No, check me in. That really didn't save a whole lot of time, though. So I'm sitting there. Within 10 minutes, I'm already cussing someone out. And that was exciting. That got the blood rushing. And so they make you walk to literally, so you drop your stuff off in the front, you check in, and they make you walk to the farthest door possible.
It really was the farthest. It was the complete opposite end of the convention center, is where the drop-off area is to where the entrance to the BYOC is. So yeah, we started walking, and like each door we got to, he was like, oh, no, go down. It's on the other side. Just like keep going.
And
I get to the next entrance.
You see the graveyard of people with their PCs lying next to them on the floor. Like,
oh,
I
yeah.
can't go.
Yeah.
Go on without me, man. Go on. It was like no one could carry their PC longer than 20 feet at a time before, like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous.
Now we're veterans, so what did we do?
We brought dollies, but not all of
yeah,
us. So
did.
Some of us, me and you bring a dolly and we share it. But it was so funny seeing people just it's like
laying down, literally.
Biggest
I mean,
workout
it's 102
lives.
Degrees outside.
Dude,
and these guys.
And some of those PCs got to weigh like
oh, dude,
a
my,
metric ton.
My PC that's... probably easily weighs 40 pounds. 40, 50 pounds. Like, my PC is a brick. I got so much stuff in it. So
I got this overly massive case, which feels like the damn case weighs 40 pounds by itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That's my case is, like, full-on metal. And then I got besides that, though, it's a heavy case. It's a heavy PC, trust me. So we get out there. We get into the zone, or we get into the building or the you know, the LAN, right, where DreamHack actually is. We've entered the door, and we are in DreamHack officially. So last year you went in, and first off, they had, like, normal fold-out picnic tables that were much wider. Okay, they were nicer tables. This year they were like Hobby Lobby craft night tables that they all decided to make at the night before.
Warped wood boards.
Yeah, warped wood. Like... they were all different sizes. Some were skinny, some were fatter than the others. You couldn't put last year you put your everyone did this. You put your tower behind your monitor and your monitor in front of your tower and then boom, there you are. This year
you're
you couldn't do that because the tables weren't wide enough. So some people had to put their computers on the floor. Which is not that big a deal, like it. You know,
but it kind of is when it's a big LAN like this, just because people are there to show off their PCs.
Well,
so, for example, we were already set up, and Branderson was last to put his PC in. Branderson's one of our friends; he's got a really, really nice PC. Well, his ended up having to go on the floor.
And he's
I'm
got
not
like
that
the
he
nicest
cared.
Looking one.
Yeah, the nicest
of
one at all of us, like by far. You know, this is the newest build. You know, and so he had to put his on the ground, and it was like, oh, mine's sitting on the desk. That's unfortunate.
And then, so, but even before we can do that, we're like, all right, on our tickets, it says AA 6 through 11. Like, though, and then that's, and then we were like BB 5 through 10. Those were our spots. So we're like, all right, go find AA, row AA and BB. So you're looking all around. None of these desks have signage on them to tell you where you're going. You're literally going up and down every single row in the area that you kind of know where you went to look for it. You're asking around. No one knows what's going on. Finally, I got lucky and found our name on a piece of paper where we were supposed to sit. But not all areas had that name. So I set my stuff down. I'm like, all right, Branderson, you stay here. I'm going to go get Brett. So, because he's like, Brett was watching the gear. So I run outside and get Brett. And then I come back and a dude moved my PC and all my stuff out of my spot. And he's setting up and he's on the phone. And Brett can attest to this because I knew you weren't there at the time. Like, I was.
He was fuming, dude.
I was an 11. Like, if
you're about to just flip your lid.
Like you both have
I
heard
ask him a
you
question.
Both have
like,
heard me.
Out, Brett.
Yeah, you both have heard me at when I'm upset. I was very upset at this point. Like I said, within 10 minutes of being there, this chick was like, "You're in my way." I was like, I turned around and I said some words to her. I was like, in my head, I was like, "My wife isn't here. I can tell this woman whatever the hell I want to say." And I did. So now we're in there. This dude sets up, is starting to set up his stuff in our area. And he was on the phone. He hung up. Long story short, he apologized because DreamHack was the ones who told him to go there, which was like a common issue throughout early Friday when people were arriving because they had like five row A's and none of them were labeled. So you had people thinking, oh, I'm A10. Here's A10. I guess I'll set up here. And it's like, no. You were the other A10. When you would have no indication.
Not AA.
Yeah. Not AA. Nothing was labeled AA. It was A. And I was like. And so DreamHack volunteers, which all, you know, I get it. They're volunteers. They were telling people to set up in seats that weren't theirs. You had, like, an entire group, like, of six people set up playing their computers. And then people walking up to him being like, yeah, this is our spot. Like, you have to pack up and move because this is our spot. We paid for this spot and for all of our group to be together. So that just set the tone for Friday. So me, Anuj, and other party members of our group were in the CSGO tournament, which last year it was pretty quick. Like, it was done and over with in the first couple hours of Friday, and we got to do our own thing. Well, this year...
Painful, though, at the same time.
It was painful.
It was quick, but it hurt.
Last year was ugly. It was like back-to-back 16 threes. It was...
No. The first map, we lost 16-3 to that...
the eventual
number one seed, and they ended up going to the finals. They didn't win, but they went to the finals. And then our second game, we lost like 16-11 on Inferno, but one of our players... Or a nuke, and one of our players hadn't ever played nuke before.
He didn't
before.
Know where hell was. We were like, go to hell. And he's like, where's hell? I'm like, we are
ramp.
Like the,
it was ramp.
Was it ramp?
I'm about to send
yeah.
you there, bitch.
We're okay. Like, rotate ramp. And he's like, where's ramp? Oh my gosh.
And this
Tim
was like,
almost
this was like round
him.
25. It's like, why, we've practiced before coming here. Why did you never think to ask where it was if you didn't know where it was?
I feel like it's pretty obvious where it is. I mean, but anyway, that's besides the point.
It's a
it was
giant
last
ramp.
Year. Last year it hurt. This year, go ahead.
Yeah, so this year. Right before the tournament started, they were like, oh, we switched providers. It's not Battlefly. It's challenge mode. Challenger mode, something like that.
Yeah,
so we all had to make an account on challenger mode. We set it up, everything there. We get into the tournament. We start playing. We had a first round bye because the team never showed up. We had a second round, and we ended up
winning.
So, and keep in mind... There were, like, 25 teams in this. So, like, it was not a big tournament compared to what we thought it was going to be. So then we won that game. We go into the second match, and we win that one. And before you know it, we are in top four situation. We were like, oh, my. Like, we are playing.
Like, what just happened?
And
we're playing well.
And it wasn't even like these kids were bad. We were playing really well.
Like, and mind you, this time we went in there because of what happened last time. I maybe put in 10 hours of CS in the past, let's say 4 weeks roughly.
Yeah.
You know, like we're not even playing CS, and we were just all on point. It was awesome.
It was our Dust 2 strats on CT, whew, I'll play SK right now.
It's almost like we knew what we were doing.
Give me CT versus SK. I'll take them right now. But... So we're about to play our semifinal match, And all of a sudden, this guy from DreamHack comes over and was like, "Hey, the center ring?" We were like, "Yeah, what's up?" Like, thinking he was going to ask us to come on stage.
We thought he was gonna hand, I thought he was handing us a trophy right now.
Yeah. So I was like, "Yeah, man, what's up?" And he was like, "You guys know you're playing in a fake tournament, right?" And I was like,
"Not a fake tournament, a tournament that was not supposed to go live, but they went live.
But it went live.
Not to join it."
And they were like, "Yeah, that's why you need to keep an eye on Discord." Like, bro, why would I keep an eye on Discord if I'm in the middle of playing a tournament, like back-to-back-to-back matches? Like, I'm not.
It was like right when your match end, if your other team or opponent was ready, it was like it launched, so you would go right into the next server and start playing.
I'm like, why?
And they're like, "Oh, well, we announced on Discord." Like, we announced on Discord that this tournament is no longer valid and we're starting over. Like, starting over.
Ugh. So, that started. And then, like, right when he came in and said that, he was like, "We're starting over in, like, an hour." So, we started playing something. We kind of all just started playing a game. But then this is where the global issues started. Okay? So, this was just an issue with the CSGO tournament in general. Then, the internet died at DreamHack. And that lasted pretty much off and on throughout the night, and it wasn't till about 11 they finally said, "Hey, you know, we're just going to postpone this thing because every time we would start playing, the internet would die or the other team's internet would die." Then there was
it's like we're playing the same team over and over and over again. We got like. Honestly, on Friday night, we played that same team. I want to say three or four separate times and where we got not where it ended a round or two in, mind you. We're making it like 20 rounds into this game, like 20 to 25 rounds into this game. And then all of a sudden, and it was their row that was being affected. They were one of the main rows being affected. So literally all five would drop in like a matter of, you know, a minute. Everyone was out of the game.
So then that happened. And so we were like, "All right, fine." So everybody but Anuj and his friends that were there decided to go out and hit up Sixth Street. And long story short, we went hard on Sixth Street.
Yeah, we did.
We went hard on Sixth Street. Anuj was the smart one for staying at the event that night. He just, I remember him coming in and just being like, "Well, so how was your guys
tonight?" I made the right decision.
No, you still made the wrong decision. That was so much fun.
Oh, man. Brett legit got lost. We lost Brett. We were...
I was exploring Austin.
Oh,
Not true.
I was exploring Austin for like an hour. I met some pretty interesting people that night.
I bet you did. We were one arrest away from being the Hangover. Like, oh, man.
Actual movie.
Yeah, it was... How we all made it home, because I left by myself, you left by yourself, and Branderson left by himself, and we all got back to the hotel at separate times, and all of them thought we died. And then our buddy Soggy got in and literally thought I died because it looked like a crime scene in there.
As per tradition, every DreamHack, first night, Tim loses his guts.
I don't drink, but there is something about DreamHack and Austin and the crew that when we all get together, I'm like, "I'm buying shots for everyone." And it just quickly falls apart. So
it's like the best Christmas story.
It really is. But that's normally Friday night at DreamHack anyway. So, and especially
should I post them?
Nah, you know what? Let's leave those off the internet.
You know,
group only photos type of thing, you know.
Maybe I got the picture.
When we talk equity, maybe I'll throw that picture back out there. Maybe when we get a Patreon, we can do that to someone who pays like $1,000 a month. How about that?
Yeah. I walked in the room, saw Tim passed out. I'm like, I should have stayed outside.
I don't know what you're talking about. I felt great.
We all did that next morning. It was pretty insane.
I was up at like 8:30, drinking a coffee. I went to breakfast in the morning. Got in, started playing games. Worked out pretty well.
Nothing sobers you up like Counter-Strike. Because I started playing Counter-Strike, I'm like, "Oh, I'm good. Let's do this." So that started there, where on Saturday, keep in mind, we're still in the middle of the tournament that was supposed to last one night. They were like, "All right, 11 o'clock, starting sharp, this tournament's going to go." We get there. It's like 11:30. We're finally starting to play our first match. Halfway through, boom, the power goes out for the other team. It's like, okay, fine, sure, let's keep going. Hour later, it was like 2 o'clock at this point. We started playing the same team again for like the fourth time. Get halfway through, and we were like, at this point, we ended up making a comeback. We were down like 6 rounds, and we were up by like 4 or something like that. Like, we did really well. We won like 8 out of...
Yeah, they started off like 6-1, and then we won like 9 or 10 out of the next 11 matches.
It was
matches,
like 10 to 6
rounds
by the end of it. And then, boom, their power goes out again. And I don't think we started playing again, so that would have been like around 2.
Yeah.
And at that point, I think DreamHack pretty much said, look, we got to figure this out because this is not good. Long story short, it ended up being a bad generator, transformer, electrical thing that has to do with the convention center. So I will say this. I know a lot of people are getting mad at DreamHack. I don't blame them at all. Like, what are you, they were like, they should have tested that first. Like, oh, they should have tested 2,000 PCs hooked up and every other electronic light switch in this place turned on. You really want, like, how
there's no way to test that kind of power coming in. You just got to assume, like, the last 2 years it's done well. This year it was a month later, so it was also like 102 degrees
AC
outside.
Was
versus
probably bumping a little harder than normal.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be, otherwise the stench in that place would have been rancid. It would have been like y'all's room at 3 a.m. on the Friday night. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think they could have tested it. It ended up not being their fault, but they're liable for it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
You know, their name is this experience, and for a lot of people, it turned out super negative. For us, there were issues, but it was manageable, right? Like,
yeah,
it
we weren't in
the
area
worst.
That got hit the most. We got hit with one internet outage. That was it. It really just sucked because the CS:GO tournament really took up 2 of our days.
Yeah.
Like, it took
it was
up
an S show.
It was.
And we ended up eventually losing to them when it actually started.
Yeah,
so
when it finally started,
through,
but I'm not gonna lie. By the time we started lost to them, I didn't care. I was like, I want to play PUBG. Just let me play something else other than Counter-Strike. I've been playing this game for 2 days straight now, and it was just, I was more frustration than anything. And then, other than that, though, I think for the majority of it, the weekend went fine, right? Like, Saturday night went fine. We were all up to, like, 4 a.m., played some games.
Smash on at some point.
Yeah, we hooked up Smash, Melee, the good version and everything like that. We played Melee. Like I said, we met some of our listeners. I know, like, you had people having issues with the mystery boxes that DreamHack had, like, that they pretty much sucked. You know, I guess that's why they call it a mystery box.
It's kind of the point.
Here, this is my counter argument to that. Like, yes, should they suck? No. Should you pay $75 for a mystery box? No, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be...
I am going to get it next year because they acknowledged that it was bad. Which
so you know
next
year
is going to be off the chain.
It's
going to be like $200 worth of stuff.
That's
in
actually
there.
Not a bad deal. Like, oh my God, a 1080 Ti.
So if you get anything from this, listeners, if you go next year, order the bag. It's going to be worth it.
And then so Anuj, you and your group left Sunday at what, like 12:30, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, came in, played a little Smash in the morning, and then one of the guys we were driving with, he had a trip back to Oklahoma, so not only did we drive
like
to Dallas,
6-hour drive.
3 hours, it's like another 3.5 to get home, so
and then
took off a little early.
And then Brett left around like 3, he got a little homesick.
I did, I was missing my
man,
kids, I'm
like,
such a dad.
You were suicidal watch there towards the end.
Man,
I
get homesick, I just turn into a sad sack and no one wants to be around me at
Sunday
that point.
Sunday morning, Brett was like, I'm staying till the end, man. I'm staying till the end. I don't get to do this very often. And then like by 3 o'clock, he's like, I'm going to go home.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So
such a dad.
You guys really missed the festivities. It was a very, odd time after you left, Brett. So we were all playing, you know, it was me, our buddy Donut, Cassie and Moby, four people were still there. And we were like, well, we'll just stay to the end. We'll pack up like we did last year, and we'll go watch the finals for Counter-Strike, go watch the finals for PUBG, and go on from there. Well, it had been like 5:30 or so. We were playing, and this guy from DreamHack taps us on the shoulder and goes, hey, you guys gotta leave, no questions asked. And at first, we were really confused because I know pack up isn't till like 7 o'clock, and like, is he saying like we have to leave? Like, did we do something? Like, we don't really get it. And he was like, no, I'm sorry, you have to evacuate. Like, don't pack up, you gotta go. And we were like, okay. And he's like, yeah, the whole section is leaving. So the whole BYOC section where we were sitting, that whole, like, kind of once you turn the corner, right, from the expo, that whole BYOC area was told to evacuate, and all the lights came on. So that's kind of how you knew it was for real. And then from about 5:30 to 8 o'clock or so, you had no idea what was going on. They ended up putting in the wall, you know, the wall that technically blocks off those two halls that connect. They ended up putting up the wall. They ended up, putting security outside in the hallway so you couldn't get it back in. You couldn't see what's going on. No one knew what was going on from DreamHack because at that point, all the cops and everyone were there. It was a very, very weird feeling. And, Brett, was that you or Nuge who was at CWL? That had to have been a Nuge with the bomb.
That was me.
That was, well, you with the bomb threat?
Yeah.
Okay, you were there. Okay. So, you know, there at CWL, when there was the bomb threat, they had everybody evacuate the building and then, like, go two or three blocks down.
Yeah.
Well, this wasn't like that. It was literally just that one portion of the event center, and we didn't even have to leave the building. Like, we went and walked around the expo. So it couldn't have been a bomb threat. They ended up roping off a section with caution tape. They were looking in the women's bathroom, so someone thought maybe someone got hurt or, you know.
I thought it was a bomb threat, wasn't it? So that's what I heard. I thought it was a streamer said it was a bomb.
They would have evacuated the
That's what
building,
I'm saying,
right?
Though. Like, it wasn't, they didn't evacuate. You could literally walk 1 foot outside of that BYOC area, and they were okay with it. So it that's could not have been a bomb threat. If that was a bomb threat, they would have cleared it out like they did in CWL with Dallas. It had to have been something that they did not want people knowing, though, because they were very like, no, I don't know what it is. Don't worry about it. Blah, blah, blah. And it was, and I think there's like a lot of stories going on, like, where was it Ice Poseidon and his crew who did it? Or what? You know, I think there's multiple things going on, and I don't think no one really knows what it was. If it's a bomb threat, I will say it was the most poorly handled bomb threat ever. Because had it been a real bomb, no one was far enough to not get blown up. Like, they were still having the pro matches and everything going on in the expo. But that being said, so that kind of killed the last 2 or 3 hours of DreamHack for everyone in that hall. Like, by the time we were in there, you had to start packing up.
Honestly, like, as we mentioned it before, but security can be so much tighter at these places.
The security was
like
awful.
I walk in and out with bags. Like, you bring in food in and out, which is, you know, we're happy that we can do that, and I think they should allow food in and out,
but have but, like, we opened thing, up the pizza box, right?
Yeah, like, just no checking of anything, you know, like, they really didn't look at anything.
I walked
out
with my backpack, and they're like, can I check your backpack? And I was like, no, nothing's in there. And they're like, oh, okay, never mind, man, you're good. And I'm like, really? Like, really? Like, you're just gonna take my word for that? Like, dude,
remember the guy on the team? So the team we played in CS, our last game that we actually were playing them, he had to play on a different computer. His laptop was stolen.
His whole backpack was stolen and walked
yeah, his whole
right
backpack,
out of
which
the
had
BYOT
laptop.
Area.
Nobody checked him, stopped him, anything. So,
and they only give you 2 stickers, which is kind of dumb considering how much valuable stuff is there. They give you 2 stickers to put on your computer and 1 on your monitor.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I honestly, though, I think the best thing to do is when you get there, right? They take a picture of your equipment, attach it to your number, put it in some file on their laptops, and when you leave, they look up your number and say, okay, you had this monitor, you had this computer, mouse and keyboard, you're good. You know? It might take an hour to leave because they got to look at everything, but don't you think that's really the only way to get a visual on it?
Yeah,
there's
and
no
for
perfect
safety,
way.
You don't want people bringing something in or
yeah.
such a compact area. Like, if God forbid something were to happen in one of those
there's
places,
there's no
like,
perfect way to do it. But my God,
and games cause criminals, so it's really the most unsafe place in America
we are
to be.
All just mass murders waiting to happen.
That's right.
I just think, in reality, there's no perfect way to do security at those type of events. But the security guard sitting on his cell phone, not even looking up when I walk past him, I could tell you is not the way to do it. Like, DreamHack is amazing, but their security is straight garbage. One odd thing about going to these events, though, is that you really don't get to watch much of esports, especially this year, because we were wrapped up in our own CSGO tournament for so long.
And you just want to play with your friends, you know?
Yeah, but I felt like even last year, we were like, all right, Cloud9's playing in CSGO, let's go watch and stuff.
There also was no Cloud9, unfortunately, or Liquid this time.
So like we said in the preview episode, no one from the Smash community was there. You had Plup, but that was really it. CSGO had a very poor showing out. Optic Gaming was there, but they were garbage. It was really, the CSGO was the back burner. PUBG this year was definitely the focal point with the stage they had set up, which was pretty,
What a stage that was, man. That was awesome.
It was.
Oh, my God.
Now, they can do a lot more with it. I hope they do it again next year and add to it. Like, I want to see stats. I want to see player cameras. I want to see more things to do with that stage. But they did rock the PUBG double-decker stage. And, I mean, you couldn't
really
help
neat.
But watch it.
Yeah, it was a good spectacle.
So
yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, and speaking of PUBG, haven't talked about your run in with a celebrity, like
my run in with a celebrity.
Yeah, the Doc, man.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so I ran into Summit. I talked to Summit for a little bit, and then we were in the middle of our like playing area. And all of a sudden, Doc walks in behind us, and man, that dude controls a room. So I talked
to
Doc.
He's 6'7".
He complimented my mustache.
The poisonous caterpillar. He even pointed at it. I was like, oh my God.
Yep,
Tim.
That was the,
Tim's so happy
yeah,
right
that
now.
Was the best compliment I could have gotten was a compliment on my mustache from Doc himself. That's all you need in life, really.
Tim is now sub to him.
I've been sub to him. Yeah, right. Be real. Well, but I mean, just Twitch Prime. I mean, I'm not a millionaire over here, okay? I'll give you my free sub.
Cheat on Summit.
But, no, I mean, and that's what I said, though. Despite all the flaws, it speaks volume that with all the internet issues and the power outages and the delays in the tournaments and pretty much wasting 2 full days of DreamHack because of them not being able to get anything working, it was still an awesome weekend.
Magical weekend.
Like, it is still a weekend I will do every year they have it there. Because it's great. It's a great weekend, even with the issues going on. It was still really fun, and I would still recommend it to anyone. You know,
some of these things get sorted out from year to year.
Well, I can promise you they're definitely going to check those that power grid next year and be like, all right, any of these faulty?
We're going to make this. Well, we know it's new because they just put in a new one last year.
They just put in a new one.
Yeah.
Going down some of the winners, you had FaZe Clan. They won the PUBG Showdown. Pittsburgh Knights, they got second place. Optic got third, Optic being a team that actually qualified through the BYOC. And then Team Envious, man, they got seventh place. And after the first night, they were in first.
They were in first, yeah.
And they got fourth place in round one, first in round two and four. And then from there, the last time they even touched top five was in round 11, where they got third. Other than that, it was 10th place, 16th, which is last place in this tournament. So they
that
just
entire organization—they
didn't get
oh,
the
go
points.
Ahead.
They didn't just get the points they needed.
Yeah. That entire organization
starting out strong and then finishing weak.
It's like, man, so depressed over there at Envious Fuel right now.
Oh, Fuel is on the up and up.
Yeah, Fuel's on the up and up.
They're kind
they'll probably reset, hopefully, and do something. I mean, I have faith that they're not. I mean, they're just too big of an org to like.
And they care.
Let
it
get this back. Yeah, they want to be good, you know. Yeah. So,
but I will
say they're
going
to do something.
The PUBG tournament was actually really fun to watch. I wish there was more information given, like while watching and everything. But it was really fun to watch and. You know, I liked the fact that it was 12 rounds. The thing with PUBG, now we didn't partake in the BYOC tournament, but because of all the delays, now for Counter-Strike, they could delay it to the next day, right? Because it's whatever, it's a BYOC tournament, you're not involved with the pros. But for like the PUBG and Rainbow Six tournament, where the top teams directly affected the pro tournament the next day, they had to get those games in. There was no delaying it to the next day. You had to do it. I heard PUBG was not finished until 3 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. Yep, that's rough.
And then they started playing at like 10 or 11 o'clock. So it's like your last match was at 3, and your next game was in 7 hours. Like
you're up in 4, you're ready, get there, and it's time to start gaming.
Get a good breakfast, and then you got to get your warm ups in. I mean it, but again, well, I mean, what can you do? That's just what it is. That's the hand you were dealt. So PUBG was actually pretty good. Space Soldiers ended up winning in Counter-Strike. They ended up beating Rogue in the finals. Again, really lackluster Counter-Strike this year.
They want to land. There you go.
Complexity was still a little too fresh with that lineup and probably didn't have much practice.
They went
0-2,
and yeah. I think that was probably more of a let's just see what we can get out of it. Millennium ended up winning the Rainbow Six Siege. That was pretty good. Surreal ended up winning StarCraft. Sonic Fox ended up beating Dragon Ball FighterZ. So there you go there. Actually, I will say, though, the one thing... Dude, he's so freaking good, and I hate it. But the one thing is the fighting game was really... All the FGCs this year were actually really good, but the talk of the town... Did you guys see Piano Man for Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Nah.
So he made top 8 in the loser's bracket. It is literally a dude who plays Dragon Ball FighterZ on a mini keyboard.
Like a musical?
Like a musical keyboard. He plays on a keyboard.
And he got how many people? So he got top 8?
He got top 8 in the loser's bracket.
Oh.
On a keyboard.
How bad do you have to feel if you lose to that guy? Like, I came to a competitive event. I lost to a guy
on I watched it when I was there.
Keyboard.
You wouldn't know. Like, if all you were doing was watching the actual game itself, you would not know he was on a keyboard. Or, you know,
like his movement didn't look choppy at all?
No, his movement, everything looked legit.
I'm going to have to look this guy up. Wow.
Yeah.
Musical Man, huh?
Yeah, if you just look up Piano Man Dragon Ball FighterZ, I'm sure it'll pop up everywhere.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So that was pretty insane there. I mentioned in the preview, and I'm an esports genius, so go figure. But I said this was Plup's tournament to lose for Super Smash Bros. Melee. And sure enough, he ended up winning. He beat the Moon in the finals. It really sucks, man.
Shocker.
Yeah, like, I love Super Smash Bros., and yet I couldn't care less when I was over there this weekend. I was like, man, just knowing all of them are in Wisconsin, it's like kind of ruined that for you. But, it's weird. It's like the Expo this year had a lot more focus on esports, and yet, apart from PUBG and Dragon Ball FighterZ and StarCraft had big guys there. It was like, I don't know, the show-up was kind of lame, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe it's just because Counter-Strike just didn't seem to be the main one. Like, they even seemed to put more into Rainbow Six this year than they did Counter-Strike.
Yeah, Counter-Strike just seemed like kind of off to the side a little bit. I mean, it was... didn't have any main stage attraction to it. Nothing cool about the graphics and stuff like that. You know,
are we seeing? Are we turning the corner?
No.
This is definitely the teams.
This is if the teams were there. Trust me, Counter-Strike would have been in the double decker playing. All of a sudden, if FaZe walked in versus Cloud9 or something, they just didn't have the teams for this event. And I mean, part of that is the saturation, so it sucks for us as fans to not see some of the best teams year in and year out. But fortunately, we got to see them at Pro League, so that made it a little bit better. But
well,
yeah,
and I mean, like, speaking of saturation, I mean, we said it before. Like, 2 weeks ago, you had ESL Pro League here in Dallas, and then you had DreamHack Austin, which a lot of teams didn't really care about. You had a qualifier thrown in there, and then this upcoming weekend, you have ECS Finals in London. So a lot of teams are already traveling there. You also have, is it ESL? There's something going on for ESL too as well. But just oversaturation. Like, for this weekend, you have ECS coming up, and you're already seeing some craziness there. NRG, did you see that they finally broke top 10?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because they...
I'm a pet. New coach.
They got second place at Star Series Season 5. They lost to Na'Vi, but that one second place ended up bumping them up to top 10 in the world, man.
we'll just ignore.
Oh, wait, they're 11. They're 11 right now.
Oh, they're 11? Yeah. Okay,
so yeah, they're 11. They said they're trying to break top 10. They're 11. That's what I was when you said it. I was like, wait a minute, they must have jumped.
But, are you sure they? Oh, okay.
I'm looking at it right now. They definitely. And they tweeted it out. If you go to their Twitter, like number 11, so close to being top 10.
Trying to make top 10. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Maybe I jumped the gun when I misread it. Okay. Sorry, NRG. I gave you too much credit.
Tim's known for finishing. It's all right, boys. He'll come through here.
It's going to be the pea shroom curse where they never touch the top 10.
They're only going down from here.
I'm going to look at this. Maybe they deleted the tweet and corrected it.
They jumped 10 spots. So that was huge. One of the biggest jumps you'll see.
It's time to break top 10. Next stop. Okay. I guess I just misread that. That was my bad. My bad. Okay. But still, though, I mean, NRG being 11th, and you look at that roster. Daps, Fugly, it's like Ethan, like, come on.
Like, I don't know when the last time we could say we had three NA teams potentially in the top 10.
If that roster goes top 10, man, I will be shocked. Like, I will eat my words that roster is a top 10 roster in Counter-Strike.
But would it be that surprising if they perform better than North or, like, Nip in their recent form or even Cloud9, who's been struggling?
Well, no, because we even spoke with Rops about it at ESL Dallas, right, where he was saying, you know, he felt like when they were number two in the world that it was mainly other, like, they didn't feel number two in the world, right?
People were coming back to them a little
right
bit more.
It was other teams were just falling off and they didn't, so they were number two. Because I mean, you even have it in like roster moves now with last week we announced Olaf Meister was going back to FaZe, then he just announced, was it yesterday, that he's no longer going to be on FaZe again. He's stepping back down for personal reasons again. He did a little message saying, hey, sorry, I thought I was back, but I can't be. So, and who are they replacing him with again?
They're replacing him with Croman, and Croman comes from Heroic. A little surprising of a pickup. I mean, there's probably more to him than what I know because I don't know him that well, but I do know, like, in his last, I don't know, 20-some-odd matches with Heroic, like, he's had more negative ratings than positives, so I'm a little interested to, you know, just watch him play because he's playing against, you know, pretty good competition. They had matches against Space Soldiers, Gambit, VP, take that for what it is, C9, Navi, and all these guys. So he's been playing top tier competition, and he's been a so-so player. I mean, at least stats wise again, he might bring more to the table than I'm aware of. But stats-wise, he's been a middle-of-the-pack, you know, 1.0 type rating player.
And you have other shifts going on with Mouse. Oscar has to sit out. I don't know exactly why. Did you see why Oscar is sitting out?
He has two different women pregnant, and he's getting a lawsuit, so...
That's what it is.
I actually do not know why Oscar is taking a leave, but he is, and... Man, this is going to make you pretty happy.
I know. Nothing is subbing it. It was so random. That would have been the last person. Like, if you're like, man, who do you think should fill in for Oscar while he's absent?
You would have never guessed.
Nothing was not going to be the one I guessed.
Hey, man, he's been tearing it up in open right now. So all guys club.
Maybe it's how, like, if we don't play, like we said at DreamHack, right? Like, we didn't play as much and we took it more loose, and all of a sudden we were doing really well.
Felt like monsters out there.
We got top four in a tournament that wasn't official. So maybe it will happen, right? Maybe he will just look so good that
he's at least been playing. It's not like he's not playing CS. No. That's what he plays most of the time still. So.
I don't think...
And he mentioned he wanted to get back into the competitive scene. So it's good to see that it's with a good team. And this is like, I mean, talk about an opportunity to showcase yourself. You are doing this on one of the biggest stages. So.
You think this will be kind of his, hey, I'm going to go see how this feels. And if it feels right, then I might look to go join another team?
Yeah, because if he plays poor, then it's like, you know... last couple outings with Cloud9 weren't that great. Now you're seeing him with Mouse, and if he doesn't look like he can handle top tier competition, I think it would be tough to get onto a top tier team again. I think if he goes out here and crushes it and looks good, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get picked up somewhere. There are plenty of teams that could use
Cloud9.
him. I mean, but not even Cloud9. Look at a team like Complexity or something. who has Shazam and, you know, Stannis, how nice would it be to be able to get somebody like Nothing back on Complexity? You know, there's already some, you know, admiration between the two.
And,
you know, there's teams.
Little tidbit here. We actually met with Jason Lake yesterday, Anuj and I, owner of Complexity. And, like, we went out to their offices. He showed us the blueprints for what they're building out at the Star. And, I mean, that's
good. Oh, my gosh.
That's going to be, like, I can promise you, that's going to be a tool to get players to come to the team. And it's going to work. Like,
think Alienware facility on crack. I mean, this is a place for fans and
they
players.
They share it with the Cowboys, too. He's like, we use the Cowboys gym. We use the Cowboys chef. He's like, I'm eating breakfast, and then there's Dak sitting right next to me.
Their players' practice room overviews the field. So when the Cowboys are practicing, these guys could be sitting there watching from there.
You think, you know, Shazam from their PCs. Ever walks up to Zeke and is like, so, man, I know what it feels like.
The fact that he could even potentially do that makes me envious of that whole roster. Like, the fact that that's even, whether he does it or not, the fact that he has the option to do it, that's pretty sweet. I mean, that's going to really be something else. And I think you'll see, you know, eventual changes to that roster. And that's going to be a competitive group at some point, because what they're doing is, I mean, they're building something big there, and it's
and they're doing it, I feel, the proper way when it comes to, like, hey, we're not just going to throw money around and get play. Like, they're doing it for the long haul, you know? After meeting with Jason, it's like, I'm hyped for Complexity right now, because it's just kind of...
Yeah.
Right now, they're not there, but I think eventually you will see Complexity kind of back at it.
There's no reason they can't be a top-tier NA team.
Did you want to...
Yeah.
No, especially NA. I mean... Look at NRG.
Gosh.
Like, look at, I mean, you want to use a perfect example. Look at NRG. They were in the same position Complexity was, where it was like they were off the radar to the point where people thought they were going to almost drop their CSGO team. You know, like, there was nothing going on with them. And now they're 11th best in the world, almost about to be top 10, depending on their position with ECS this weekend. So it's very well possible that Complexity can... You know, kind of
they're hanging out with the Joneses,
gain
man.
Confidence in the NA scene, and then once you do that, just, you know, it's just a tournament here and there, and boom, you're playing international again. Would you like to tell the listeners your story?
I met Rambo.
It finally happened.
It happened, like, after 15 years apart. I felt like we were brothers. I mean, did you get that vibe?
I definitely
when we met?
Got a vibe.
Like, I saw something in his eye, and it was either like, you're a freaking stalker, or I love you.
Like,
man.
You know that scene in the Notebook, like when Noah and the chick meet each other again?
It's raining. You know that scene? Yeah, the cover photo. That's basically was us. I was holding him in my arms in my mind.
You asked him if he got the letters you've been writing him, and it's just
like we've been pen pals for 15 years, you know?
Like your Stan.
It was just awesome, though. Like, Jason took us back to the practice facility where these guys were, you know, preparing for the London Face It opener.
Our dudes got yelled at by Stanislaw for talking too loud.
Yeah, we had to close the door because I had a rager going on there. It was tough. And
he was so excited, Brett. He was like, oh, my God, I got to tell you this story. It's like, no. like he was like, you taught me how to use the WASD keys because I was using the arrow keys. And you just saw Rambo, like, okay.
It's like, this dude's a freak. I was just so happy to meet him, and it was cool because, like, from an esports standpoint, you know, that's one of the people that attracted me to esports, you know, and it was one of the first that I can remember. I can't remember, really couldn't tell you anybody before him, you know, other than maybe like a Fatality or some of the other huge names that were in the scene at the time.
I don't blame you, though, because to this day, like, if I met Walshy, like Halo Pro, oh my God. Like, I would be the same exact way, where I'd be like, dude, you shaped my competitive gaming attitude for life.
Back in you Halo showed me something I didn't know existed, right? And so that was just a really fun moment.
The whole reason I have, like, it looks like a nervous twitch when I play games is because of the ogre twitch, where, like, they would jitter the joystick while playing. It's like, and I even do it with a mouse. I'll jiggle my mouse a little bit. Just because it's like, that's what the Ogre Twins did, and I was like, well, I got it. That clearly works.
Yeah, right? Gotta do some.
Yeah, my passion for CS came from him, and it's been there ever since. So that was just a cool moment. Really enjoyed the meeting with Jason and meeting his team. We met Warden, you know, we met Rambo. So we really met some legends like in the esports scene. So that was a fun meeting, and hopefully there's more fun stuff to come for you guys.
Yeah, I should have just brought my kid. Stanislaw wouldn't yell at a kid, right? He wouldn't yell at a 2-month-old baby.
Bro.
He did ask where you were, if that made you feel any better.
Aww.
He said, oh, it's only you two. And I was like, yeah, it's just us.
Sorry.
Man. All right. I'll make it next time.
Sorry.
I was depressed.
If Rambo doesn't have a 500-yard limit on me by the next time.
He does. He's writing up that what do you call it?
Training order is on alert right
now.
Yeah,
restraining order. There you go.
And well, real quickly, because we are running this one long. Lecro is going to nip. They're benching Draken.
It just keeps like
revolving door. That team. Yeah. Until if Getright and Forrest don't get back to the form that they were once in, they're never going to be good. So those guys either have to they have to do something. Getright hasn't really been Getright in a long time. Forrest, same thing. They're mixing up one or two players. I don't know if that's going to necessarily work, but they want to give it another go. And, we love those guys, so we're going to keep watching. But, I'm not going to sit here and say this is the move that puts them over the top, because I don't know.
Definitely.
If it is.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, it's like lateral. I mean, you lose your – well, I mean, I don't know. It's depressing as a Nip fan.
Well, like Lecro just got let go from Fnatic, so it's like, okay, we're picking up their leftovers. Although Lecro is very good, so I don't think a lot of people saw him getting let go from Fnatic to begin with. But
yeah. But he wasn't the primary op at Fnatic, or was he?
No, yeah. So he did a lot of the opping.
He's taking on that role now.
Yeah, but who? Fnatic, he had JW opping majority of the time. I think he was like secondary op for him though. Who knows? It'll just be interesting to kind of follow and see what they're doing there. But the biggest news is like this G2 stuff. Don't know how much we want to dive into it right now necessarily, but that's a complete roster swap.
Yeah, I mean, so touch on it, because really the only, because like I said, like you went back to work on Monday. I went back to work today. So my DreamHack weekend just officially ended this morning when I dropped the last bit of the crew who flew in town. So I've been MIA when it comes to social media and what's going on. The one thing I saw was NBK basically saying, I'm over this. Who wants to sign me?
Yeah, so they benched Apex. Nathan NBK is being, he's essentially free to start looking for other teams. I think there's still a buyout in play, so I don't think this is going to be like a freebie exchange, but he mentioned he's open to international teams. He put out a tweet long, and it wasn't really negative towards the organization. Like, it was just, hey, this was super frustrating. The team was split. They ended up going, with Shox's team after giving, NBK and Apex an opportunity to both call. It just wasn't going to work. And Kenny wanted to play with Shox also. That was the attraction to begin with, right? Was Kenny and Shox on the same team, not NBK and Kenny S or Apex and Kenny S. It was supposed to be Shox. So they basically, Shox proposed his lineup, which is now Shox. They got Body to come on board. Kenny S. Smits, who was formerly their coach, who again was formerly prior to that a player on G2, is now on the roster. And then the only trial player at the moment is Existence, and he's going to be their caller. Now that's where it gets interesting, because he is known to be an amazing strat caller. It's also been a little while since he's been on a top team in the French scene. He's been playing for LDLC, I believe, previously. So it's a unique mix, but I'm happy to see Kenny S and Shox back together. I think Existence is a great strat caller, so he brings something to the team. The two question marks a little bit here are going to be Smits, because he's so tied to the hip of Shox. I don't know what would happen if Smits doesn't perform well. And then Body. I think you're going to see Envious break up here pretty soon. So there's going to be a lot more free agency in the French scene. You know, do you want to pick up an RBK to replace one of them, possibly a Scream? Because it was MBK who didn't want to play with Scream. So a lot is going on in the French scene, and I don't think there's any easy way to keep track of it right now other than just following them on Twitter and seeing what's happening day to day.
Damn, that's a lot. That was a lot of
it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
like, I feel like I need a volume tour.
Think of the free agents that you have right now in CSGO. It's pretty insane. You got Mixwell, NBK, Apex. You're about to have all of Team Envious be a free agent. Like, you have a lot of talent out there that could put together some pretty cool international teams. I think you're going to see some mixing and matching in the NA scene. I think some of these guys will get picked up there, but there's just a lot of talent out there right now. It's pretty crazy.
I feel it's funny with all this French scene breaking down for like the third time, you're all of a sudden seeing the player say, like, willing to join an English speaking team, you know, like
they want something long-term.
They're over the French scene at themselves. Because at this point, like, there's really not a whole lot of other French combinations you can do. Like, there is no more French shuffle that you can do again. It's already all of the combinations have happened.
Yeah, and that was part of MBK's like Twitter rant, right? Is like, I just want to be on an English speaking team. Like, put me on an English speaking team.
Yeah, like English or French obviously will work for him, and I think it ends up being an international English team that they make somehow. And the French scene has some good up-and-coming young players that I don't think are ready for the big stage. So you're going to see, like, I think Envious is just going to be, like, non-existent in CSGO unless they pick up another team. Because Envious is out of everything right now. I
mean, they are starting over.
Yeah.
The organization of Envious is starting over in CSGO. You will not hear from them on big stages unless it's just pure invites because of the name, right? But for any of these like qualifying tournaments and ESL and ECS and all that, you're not going to see them. So, I don't know. Maybe at a turn of events, you see them at more tournaments because now they can just go to them because they don't really have a whole lot of obligation throughout the year anymore. So, that will be something to see. Anuj, my homework for you is I want a Brett-style Rocket League report for the French scene by next week. Could you do that for me?
Yeah, I can do that. The history.
I feel like I just did a pretty good job of breaking this down.
No, because I didn't know how France became a nation. All right,
that's important.
Who was this Napoleon guy?
I mean,
all right.
Because
if Brett
that's
was breaking
mindset,
this down,
right?
I would know the French Revolution right now.
Yeah. So I mean, hey, it like set the tone for their mindset going into this French stuff.
Just so you know, the French have Bastille Day. That is their. I think that's their day. That's their July 4th.
Is that
so? There you go.
November though.
No, it's July.
It is in July still.
Yeah, July 14th. According to Google, right now.
I was too distracted with all my freedom.
About to eat some French fries.
this is really me just delaying so I can find the bed for E News. We have a very light load of E News today, though. Speaking of that Rocket League tournament Brett broke down for you, that is this weekend, right, Brett?
Yes, it is.
So we will
start in 2 days.
So we will talk about that next week as far as what happened.
Yeah, you've already got the history. This will be more of a, you know, just what happened.
You know? light E-news.
Well, we had one listener that was very nice, though, and I appreciate that.
Nice is the key word.
A lot of kind words.
We love you, Memphis.
The U.S. Overwatch World Cup team will be chosen after a rigorous tryout process. All right, so who copied and pasted rigorous from an article in the E! News?
Not it.
Because I know none of us used rigorous. You know who uses rigorous? Writers. No one uses that word. But that's basically, they're doing it differently, correct, Brett?
Yeah, so it's 25 players over a two-week process. This is set up by Arrow, the new USA head coach and head coach of the Dallas Fuel. Yeah, and it's just going to be a merit-based thing. I'm excited about it. You know, it's not just people you know. These are going to be the best of the best that USA has to offer.
Very cool. And I was going to bring this up in e-news, but really once I started like reading into it, I do want to dedicate at least a little segment to it. And that's Dota's complete rework of how Valve is doing their pro circuit. So I do want to talk about that. Maybe not, I mean, it's not in a huge rush, right? So we could talk about it next week if we've got nothing going on. But just know that they're completely revamping everything from how roster moves work. They're completely getting rid of roster locks on points and things like that. The points are belong to the team now and not the player. So that's something that you don't see too often. I think CWL does it to the player, which is why like picking up certain players can mean a lot for certain teams, because if that player has a lot of points, it could bump your standings up just by that. So they're completely reworking it, and so I do actually want to break down the Dota Pro Circuit changes here coming up. Also, just to, you know, do a shameless reminder of how much Valve cares about Dota compared to how Counter-Strike is ran is still just unbelievable.
Mind-blowing.
It's unbelievable. Yep. What's also unbelievable, though, is that this episode of the Centering, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, is over. Episode 109 is in the books. I hope you enjoyed it. It was fun telling you our stories for DreamHack. If you want to hear more, I'm sure there's more to tell. Just hit us up on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. Follow us on all of our social medias. I'll catch up on YouTube, I promise. I'm just behind because of DreamHack. If you listen on iTunes, review, leave a 5-star review if you want. And
not if you want, you better.
Or even if we suck, just leave a 5-star review. We'll be back next week. We'll talk ECS recap. We'll recap ECS. We'll recap Rocket League finals and all the other fun stuff going on in esports. And I think that's it. I think I covered everything. Again, Twitter at The Center Ring. Let us know what you think of the show. We will be back for episode 110. Oh. We might be a day late. I will be in Vegas next week. So we'll figure that out, though. That's for us to decide. But for Anooch.
And it's my B-Day week, baby.
Oh, boy. For Anooch, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.